So when we think of let your light shine, it's a huge topic. How can you even imagine of covering this topic in one short sermon? It is all-encompassing because whether you like it or not, we all let our light shine. All of us. No matter what we do, we let our light shine to those that are close to us. We let our light shine at our places of work. We let our light shine in the church, and so on. And so the question is, what kind of light would be the light that God is talking about here? Many years ago, in another time and another place, I heard this kind of rumor go around town, and one of the young fellows in our church had delivered a load of grain to the elevators, and what came out of that was, well, you know, on the top of the grain, the top part of the truck, the grain was all dry, but underneath it was wet, right? It wasn't. And so you can imagine how this rumor got out. And you say, what kind of light was that? Right? So often our light shines when we least expect it. Another situation many years ago, I was the interim pastor at our church in Edmonton. And I was doing the, I was taking my day off, and I was fixing a fence outside, and I got this phone call. And at the other end, the person said to me, Gary, did you hear the news this morning? And I said, no, I don't think I did. Well, he said there was a young man who had a tragic accident coming from Leduc to Edmonton, a single vehicle accident, and he was killed. And that family lives right across from us. And they don't have any pastor. Would you be willing to come and talk to them? So this was in Devon, and it's a little bit of a drive. So I went in, cleaned up, and went over and met with this family. And they had very little church background, so we talked. And when we came in, you can just imagine that these people were totally shocked. There was almost no emotion on their faces. They were in a place of total disbelief that their brother and their son had passed away so fast. And so as I visited there, I ended my visit and I said, can I pray with you? And they kind of looked at me uncertain. And after a bit of a few breaths, they said, yes, pray for us. And so I prayed with them and I left. And then I came back again and had another time with them as a family, and their sharing was a little more free. And again asked them when I left, can I pray with you? And they said, yes, this time is a little more certain. And in the meantime, as this was going along, they were going to have the funeral in our church. So a number of church people got together, and as they do so well, they got the different lunch for after the church service, and the different kinds of sliced meat and vegetables, finger food, and so on. So that was all happening. And the day before we had the funeral service, I went to the funeral home with the family. And this time I gathered with the family and around, and the casket was close by, and I joined the circle. I think Carol was there too. We joined the circle, and they said to me, would you pray with us, without even me asking to pray? And so it was, you could see the progression of thought here. And then we had the funeral service, and after the funeral service, I talked to the father of this young man, and he looked around, and he looked all around, and he said, wow, there's a lot of love in this place. And I thought, what a powerful light. Without even planning to do that, it was myself and our community, we were lights in this person's life. And there are many examples of where you have probably been a light too, a light where you weren't thinking about it. You all of a sudden, it's just like, oh my, there it is. And just by who you are and how your love comes out and how Christ comes out and so on. And light, if we look even at a bigger picture, light is something that impacts us whether we like it or not. And as a photographer, I enjoy taking pictures. And so you can see different different parts of light. It's not quite as red here as it is in the computer. The wind blew the snow off the mountains and the sun caught the snow, and it's like fire on the mountain. Or you might see this on your way to Waterton, different shades of Chief Mountain. And when there's dust in the air because of harvesting, it's not quite as clear. And then when you see the harvest in the sunset, it is really amazing. And how the sun comes in and lights the way, and you can see how the emotion in the picture changes as the light comes from different places. And you can see all the extent of where the context and even the bigger context, and then the setting sun on the mountains. Light. We couldn't live without light. And you know what? Light has to, Jesus says to the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, let your light shine. And that's what we want to look at today. Let your light shine. The three parts we'll look at. One is light as revelation, and that's more from 1 Corinthians. And then we'll look at being the light. Our bulletin says you are the light. And then we want to look at our actions reflect the light. So we want to just focus around those three thoughts this morning. Light as revelation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, Paul picks up the theme of wisdom again. In chapter 1, we talked about last week, he talks about wisdom. He says that wisdom is different. The wisdom of God is different than the Greeks, and is different for the Jews. The Greeks wanted the mind to really engage in wisdom, and when they saw someone that was crucified, they would think, this person is nobody. And so they just would think that the wisdom of God who's crucified, they couldn't imagine. The Jews were looking for someone who would come in and conquer the oppressors and set them free in that sense. And Jesus didn't do that. He died on the cross. And so the cross is, again, the center of the wisdom, is revealed in Christ by the plan of God and is known in the Spirit of God. And so as we look at this briefly, we think of light as revelation. If God wouldn't reveal who God is, we wouldn't know that. And so we think of revelation as light as revelation. And Paul talks about the power of this revelation in his preaching is the cross of Christ. And I think when Paul refers to the cross of Christ, he's talking about the life of Christ, not just the fact that he was crucified, but it's the whole life of Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again. And so there's so much involved in the life of Christ. And he says, this is a mystery that God had planned before time began, and now has been revealed through the Spirit. And so, in a way, Paul brings the triune God into this as he talks about this. He says, the Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God, just as the human spirit knows us. We know ourselves, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God reveals Christ to our spirit so that we understand God from that perspective. The Spirit of God is the one who reveals God to us in Jesus, and this is what gives us life. We think of the Spirit and life. In the creation, it was the Spirit that hovered over the face of the earth. And here we're thinking of God's Spirit coming and give us life. It was the life of the Spirit that created the church in Acts chapter 2. And so this is the revelation. It is this revelation that becomes the light in our soul, the light in our life. And as people, we need to approach this with submission. Okay, this is something that God has revealed to us. This is God's light to us. And so let's switch gears just a little bit and look at it. What does it mean to be the light, being the light? You see, the Pharisees in Mark chapter 5:14, he says, you are the light. And then later on in verse 20, he says, your righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You see, the Pharisees and teachers of the law had an outward appearance, but inside they were hollow. And Jesus has all these woes against them. And one of them is that you're whitewashed tombs. You're white on, you know, all this cleanliness on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. And so this was an important part in being the light. This is about you, who you are as a person, as opposed to what you do. And sometimes it's hard to separate that, as we'll see. But who are we as the light? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. In Isaiah's time, their fasting ended up by exploiting workers, in quarreling and striving and hitting each other. Whew. And then he also talks about, and then your light will break forth like the dawn. So he talks about what they need to do, and I'll get to that. But when those are done, your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So on one hand, the Pharisees were challenged. Jesus challenged the Pharisees, and Isaiah challenged the people and said, you know what, you've got to get this together. You are the light. You got to get who you are inside has to be real to who you are on the outside. And Isaiah goes on and says, and then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. So being the light is about being congruent. And the spiritual disciplines enhance and increase the light that comes in Christ. So today we are going to participate in communion. It's an outward act, but it's really what's going on inside that is important. When being the light is like a town on a hill that cannot be hidden. When it's inside of us, it just comes out, and it's so powerful. Philip Yancey, in his book, Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference?, talks about this benediction. It's a Franciscan benediction. And notice on the inside, how much on the inside it mentions. It says, may God bless you with discomfort. And you say, oof, that's not, is that God going to do that? At easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. And he goes on to say, may God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. And then this prayer goes on, may God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand and comfort them and turn your pain into joy. And then he says, and may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children of the poor and the poor. I'm reminded, some of you who came to that, to the men's breakfast yesterday, I think you were encouraged by Bill Ginter's message, and he's like, some of the stuff you'd think, how does he ever do this? Like, he started as the executive director for the soup kitchen, and you think, what kind of position is that? But you know what? This guy has taken that, and he has taken out his mission to reach the poor. And so, you know, he's got people, other people involved, and if they have extra food, what do? They give it to Harbor House or other places that need it. He is there. They have now been able to have food three times a day for the street people, and at least 100 people come every time. And so, you know, this is a ministry that comes, and I'm sure some people, when he started on this, would say to him, you know what, you're foolish. Do you think anything will come of this? But he's taken something like that and expanded it and made it into something amazing. So being the light. So we have communion. We want to examine ourselves. Is the light we have in Christ congruent with our spiritual practices? Is that which is on the inside that which we participate in the spiritual practice, is it congruent? Does it come together? It's a way of evaluation so that we just don't perform out here, but that we can say, oh, yeah, I need some healing today. I need some grace today. I need God's grace. I need a deeper walk with God. And so then the communion focuses on Christ. On Christ, what he has done, on Christ and the covenant. But it's a matter of drawing closer to Christ. And I think that's the power of communion. And then the second part is our actions reflect the light. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And then we go back to Isaiah 50:58. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and with the pointing finger, the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday bright. You could add to that. You know, there are some things that really reflect the other way, right? In some of the work I looked at today, this is goes way back into the history of the United States. It's notice of sale of poor persons. We, the undersigned overseers of the poor in the Delaware Township in Hamilton County, hereby give public notice that we will farm out as public vendor on the first day, and they have the day, the month, is said ownership to the lowest bidder for 1 year. The following papers to writ. So they have three people there and give their ages, and they are going to farm them out as slaves. Isn't that sad? That goes way back. But, you know, this kind of thing is happening in other ways as well in our world. So our actions reflect the light. In Psalm 112, it says, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. You know, so I don't know if you tuned into the news this past week, but it was interesting, wasn't it? In the impeachment trial that Trump went through, and I don't know Mitt Romney very well, except that he's been a politician, but here is one person in the Senate of the United States who stood up, and he's a Republican, and he said, I voted against the president. And so he is like the light in the darkness. It dawned. And he said, the reason I can't vote for him is because he was wrong. He did not do the right thing. And I thought, wow, you might disagree with his politics, but his character came out. His actions reflected the light that was within. And he said this all for the whole nation to see. And of course, there's feedback, there's people who are hurling stones at him and so on. But even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright. And then he goes on, and I just want to say this, this comes from Peter Scazzaro. The goal of the Christian life is to love well. Jesus was aware that true spirituality included not only loving God, but also the skill of loving others maturely. And last week, as we looked at the learning to do the right thing, we looked at from Micah, and we get the same message, to act justly, act towards the poor in intimate relationships, act justly to neighbors, to love mercy, to show compassion, to walk humbly with your God, recognizing our limitations before God. And so we have it. Let your light shine. Matthew 5:16, it will involve light as revelation. It needs to come from somewhere. Just as the sun gives us light, and that light helps things to grow, we are called the light of the world. So we have to understand what it means to being the light, and our actions must reflect the light. And so as we have our communion today, I trust that as we come together, we allow the light of Jesus to be among us, and that we recognize that he comes and indwells us, and that we too are reflections of his light. And so may this time of communion be a special time of enrichment, a time of joy, and a time of reflection.